If you're scratching your head wondering how you'll keep marketing your book for life and getting some rest while you're at it, well, that's the question we're answering today with my special guest, Melanie Redd. I'm Kim, host of Book Marketing Mania, and I'm so thrilled you're tuning in today as my friend Melanie is here to share some encouragement and tips on the power of a small launch team, how she's marketing her book 1 year after her launch, collaborating and being generous with your platform, and most importantly, finding time to rest while marketing your book, inspired by her Just Rest devotional. Melanie and I have been online friends for what seems like forever, and I've had the blessing to get to hug her neck in person, and I know you're going to love her just as much as I do. So let's get to it. Okay. Hey, Melanie, welcome to Book Marketing Mania. I'm so thrilled you're here today to serve our listeners.
Thank you, Kim. It's good to be with you today.
So y'all heard me gush about Melanie in the introduction, and I just wanted to first start off just, Melanie, just talking about your journey, because I know we both are old timers. We've been around for a while, and, and you've been, you know, you've been blogging, you've wrote books, you've, you know, host a podcast, audio and YouTube, and I know you just have seen so many things change through the years. So I'd just love to hear maybe some encouragement. You know, for some of those listeners that are like, oh my gosh, you know, like there's just always something new to try, as well as maybe the newbies, you know, just some encouragement for either party, just, you know, how they can just keep going and keep working at it. You don't have to do all the things, but, you know, figure out what works for you. But just, I would just love to hear from your heart, Melanie, any encouragement for our listeners along that path.
Sure. Absolutely. I would love to do that. And I can tell you, being in this world is kind of like living in the city where I live. We live in the Memphis area, which is in Tennessee, near the Mississippi River. And people always say, if you don't like the weather, stick around. It'll change tomorrow. And it's a lot like that in our little world of blogging and podcasting and YouTube and social media. It changes all the time. And if you can just sort of learn to embrace the seasons and the weather patterns and kind of learn to go with the flow and be okay if you don't know everything right away, you'll enjoy it a lot more. I can think back, Kim, when I started, Facebook was the rage. It was 2015. Yes. And I started a blog, and we posted to Facebook 5 times a day. Yeah. It's crazy now.
It is, but
I would get 2,000 hits to my blog a day from Facebook.
Yeah.
And then something changed, and we all freaked out. Because they changed the algorithm. You know, and then Instagram started, and then people started talking about, a couple years ago, podcasts and blogs and YouTube and TikTok. And it feels like about the time you figure it out, something new comes up or they're changing it.
Yes, so true.
And so I just tell people, learn to be flexible. Learn to be okay not knowing everything. Learn to research. Talk to people that you trust that are a little further ahead of you. And, you know, for me, I just sort of see it as an adventure and a learning curve. And it keeps you young. I've been on the planet probably a lot longer than some of your listeners. And I can tell you, you just keep learning. And you realize nobody has it all figured out. That's what I've realized.
Yeah, and that's true.
You know, it's kind of encouraging because you realize everybody's learning and everybody's in the same boat. And literally, once we figure it out, Kim, they do change it. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of go with the flow and learn the new thing and keep going. So that's my biggest encouragement on the journey is just enjoy the journey. It's like when it rains when you're at the beach or at an amusement park, you just figure out a new way to do the things that you love to do. And sometimes there's going to be a change in the weather. There's also going to be a change in social media and in the online work that they do. But don't lose heart. It's just part of it. And if you can kind of learn to carry an umbrella and to make sure you got a, you know, a raincoat and that, you know, you got a good hat you can put on for the days where your hair might get a little frizzy. It's the same way in this world that we're in online. It just is going to change and there's going to be temperature changes and things are going to come about and it's okay. And it's part of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's such great advice. And as we were joking around about before we even got on here, that we're both having rain today. And I think I'm going to always think about that now, you know, like just as long as you're prepared, you know, with an umbrella, you can still leave the house. You know, you may not like how your hair looks, but you can still get out there and do what you have to do. And I think too, Melody, you didn't even talk about this, but this is what I think about you, like through the years, is like you kind of had this consistent messaging. I mean, obviously it's all about pointing people back to the Lord and about our faith, but there's been this consistent message of hope. And now, you know, leading into your new devotional, you know, just finding rest in the Lord. And I think, I mean, I just really commend you for that, because that's what I think of. Like all these years, I've always thought of that. And I think that really helps if you kind of have that solid framework, you know, or foundation of things you're going to talk about. And then you just kind of carry those to whatever platform, you know, you're going to go spend some time on, I guess, with your writing or speaking or blogging or doing videos, you know, or podcasting. It seems like those things change, and social media certainly changes. But like your message has just stayed consistent through the years. And that probably, I'm guessing, helps quite a bit.
Oh, yes. The message is still the same. You point people to Jesus, and I want people to find hope and encouragement. And there's a million ways to do it. And there's not one of them that's wrong. Mm-hmm. Some are more effective. But what worked last month may not work this month. It's so crazy. And so my heart more and more, Kim, is just to get up and pray and get creative, write ideas down, talk to people, see what's working, and keep going. Mm-hmm. And just continue to share the message of hope that we have in Jesus. And so that's kind of the goal of the ministry. And it's been that way now. I've been doing this almost 9 years.
Yeah.
And so I tell people, I think if you're passionate about something, some people are passionate about parenting. Some people are passionate about marriage. Find something you can't stop talking about and that you love to talk about, and just keep going with that message underlying everything that you do.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love that so much. Well, tell us about the for our listeners that may not know that Melanie released last year, I think it was last year, her Just Rest 90-Day Devotional, which I have a copy of and I absolutely love. So tell us a little bit about that and who your readers are for that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it's kind of that's a funny question, because it started out to be a book for college-age girls and young adult women. What, like 20 somethings.
Yeah.
And then I had all these friends reach out and they said, I'm young at heart. can I read the book? Can I be on the launch team? And so really it's a book to encourage all of us, but especially women, to not be afraid and to not fear. And every day points you back to some way that God is faithful, or God sees you, or God is with you. And that's where we look when we're afraid. We look to him. And so that's the goal of for 90 days. We're talking about the character of God, especially in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple book. It's got a place for journaling and some of those good teacher questions to get you thinking about what you want to write. There's scripture. There's a practical stories. There's prayer time. And then there's something I added that I love called declarations. A friend of mine has really encouraged me that what we say out loud matters. So there's at the bottom of each devotional page, you're supposed to speak out loud your declaration for the day. So for example, if it's the day where we talk about Hagar and he's the God who sees me, the declaration might read something like, Lord, I thank you that you see me. I'm never out of your sight. You never miss a moment of what's going on in my life. I'm so thankful you're the God who sees. And so that's kind of the gist of the book. It's simple. It's a year old. We put it out a year ago, but it's been a fun project. And I've gotten from those women that have gone through it with me, I've gotten such good feedback. So it's been a really sweet project. It's my ninth book. And I think I think it's been like the sweetest one that I've done. I've gotten the best, the most heartfelt responses from people.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And I do think it's like, it's just timeless, right? I can imagine, because here we are a year later, which isn't very long, right? For a book launch or you know, your book to be out in the world. But I can definitely see you're going to, you know, you put it on the shelf and you're going to pull it out over time and share it with other people over time. And there's just like no end to it, because it's all about, you know, God's word. And we can just rest in that and find encouragement in that. So what have you seen, because it is a year into it, what have you seen about your book marketing that maybe you did certain things at launch time and you're doing certain things differently now a year later?
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that I've learned, and it only took me a few books to figure this out, but you sell the book for your whole entire, your life, and sometimes after. I mean, there are books I love, like Utmost for His Highest and Streams in the Desert, and books like How to Win Friends and Influence People and The Five Love Languages. All of those books have been around forever. And so there's really not a shelf life. You know, there's not an expiration date on a book. And I'm learning that you keep marketing for life. But I'll tell you what I did that I loved, and I wish I'd done more of it, is I loved my launch team. I actually, this time, instead of hitting up all my friends, because I had done, this was my fourth book in 3 years to launch.
Oh, wow.
And it was a lot. And I was tired and they were tired. So I just put the feelers out and said, who wants to be on the launch team? And I had 50 women sign up just to do it.
Oh, wow.
And if I had that to do ever again, I'd get 150 women. Because to me, that's one of the very best ways to get the word out about the book. And I think I sent them all a digital copy. And then a few of them said they would do extra. So I sent them a physical copy of the book. But that was one of the best things that I've done. And they did so well. And they weren't professionals. A lot of them are not writers. They're just really sweet ladies that wanted to help.
Yeah.
So I think I would do a lot more, like a bigger launch team. I think that would be a huge help. Maybe 150 people. And I'm still doing some pop-up things from time to time, about once a month. I'll try to come up with, like, we just celebrated a year. So I did a birthday deal where if they bought a book, I'd send one to wherever they wanted for free.
Oh,
and I take them with me. I give them out. I have them in my car. When I go speak, I take copies. I have some friends, Kim, that have done Amazon ads.
Uh-huh.
You can actually, beside another author similar to you, you can pay for your book to pop up. So, for example, you know, if somebody's reading a Lisa Turkhurst devotional, then I could pay for Just Rest to pop up next to that and say, you might also like.
Yeah.
And so I think those are real effective. They're not inexpensive and you got to do some preparation work, like with a bunch of taglines and things like that. But I think those could be really worthwhile if you have some money to spend.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because, we haven't talked about that, but I have started noticing that more and more on Amazon when I'm shopping on there, you know, or just going directly to a book, you see these others pop up. So, it's definitely something to get your book in front of somebody else's eyes. But I was curious, what the price point might be on that. It might be out of our listeners' budget, depending on they may have more budget, you know, at launch time. They may decide to invest in that.
Yeah, and I could see the Amazon ads possibly being helpful. Even if you did $50 a month or something, if you had some dollars to spend, it might be worth a shot. You could experiment with it.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned about the launch team, because I know a lot of authors, you know, if they're self-published, they may not do that as much because, you know, typically it's, we hear about that with a traditional publisher, right? They're taking care of it, which we know in these years, they take care of less and less, you know, like they're just not able to do as much as they used to. But I would love to hear what kind of encouragement you have for someone that is self-published or maybe went through a hybrid publisher, and they might be a little nervous about having that many people on their launch team because they'd be sharing their book. You know, I always hear like, that's, you know, all those people would not buy the book. You know, like if so many people are getting to read it, they're not going to turn around and buy it. And what would you have to say to people like that might have those concerns?
Well, yeah, that's such a good question. I will tell you, the big writers like the Mark Battersons and the Lisa Turkhurst and you know, all these people that publish these huge and sell huge amounts of books, they actually have huge launch teams. Uh-huh. And that's one of the ways they get the word out. And so you've got to have a budget for some of this, but usually a publisher will give you a few copies. Mm-hmm. And a digital copy is an easy way. You can even mark it where it's not for resale. There's some way to do it where they can't print it out.
Yeah.
You know, you can put some kind of a logo on there, but I think you can easily, because it's just free advertising. If you send a digital copy, it costs you nothing. Mm-hmm. And if you think about if you have ladies that share and they share with 10 friends. I mean, I sold the most books. Usually I get to number one on my category the first week or two because the launch team goes into effect.
Yes.
And so I think there is something about it. It's worth asking every relative and friend and even fellow writers and bloggers and people that you can even say, I'll do this for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can always tell them you're willing to be on their launch team. And it really didn't take that much time because what you're asking them to do is to look over the book and maybe to write something for you that you can share on social media. But then you're just saying, would you please put up a picture and talk about it somewhere? Tell somebody. And think about the power of that. I had about 50 And if they all told one person, then that's 100 people that know about it.
Yeah.
And we sell a lot of books. So if you got 100 people, you can impact 200. And so I just think about all the emails that I get from some of these big authors. Mm-hmm. They get thousands of people. They get thousands of people on their launch team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so think about the impact of a digital copy. No, they're not buying it, but they're telling somebody. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times sometimes they will go buy it because they want a physical copy.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah.
It could be too that if you have about 5 friends that are big influencers, they have like 20,000 or more people on Instagram, or they've got a big Facebook page or a following on YouTube or Twitter or even TikTok. You might send them a physical copy because the bigger their impact, the better chance you'll sell more books. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think, you know, just hearing about books from your friends, it just seems like that's just, you know, I just trust that so much more, right? And I'm just going to instantly go buy it versus, you know, sometimes if you just see it kind of marketed in a marketing way, you might be like, oh yeah, maybe I'll check that out one day. So yeah, just, I think the power of people talking about your book is incredible. And I love my Kindle. So I am a fanatic of eBooks. So I wouldn't mind a PDF of any book any day. I would definitely read it and share it.
I also say the other thought on this is you just keep a spreadsheet and you keep up with them and you come up with a form email and you change the name at the top. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to spend hours and hours on this. You just need to communicate what you want them to do and when you want them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a big believer in having some kind of a launch team or some people to help you publicize like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We can't do it alone for sure. Well, so, you know, thinking about your devotional Just Rest, do you have any tips for authors that, you know, I keep hearing over and over is, you know, we want to market our books and we want more time to market our books, but we want to market our books without it taking all of our time, right? We don't want to just not be able to take any time, you know, on the weekends or in the middle of a book launch or just any time throughout the year. We don't want to just be 100% marketing our books. And so I'd love to hear any encouragement that you could share, Melanie, about how authors can just find time to rest while they still feel that pressure to be out marketing their books to new readers.
Sure. I think that's such a good question. You know, I think the main thing that I've realized is there's only so much I can do. I only have so many hours in the day. I only have so much energy. And you can't be marketing 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
There are things you can do, but I think we pray, we share, and then we let God be our publicity agent, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the quote by Lisa Turker. She said, our job is obedience. Mm-hmm. God's job is everything else.
Yes.
And so, you know, I tell people all the time, you can market it for life. You can push it sometimes, but nobody wants to see your book every day on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, but nobody wants you pushing it all the time or talking about it all the time, but you can creatively share it. Once a week, you can creatively do a launch for several weeks when the book first comes out. You can celebrate its birthdays, but I don't think we have to become pushy, pushy, pushy with these books. Mm-hmm. I believe we pray and we get the word out and we share what God's doing in our lives and or what we've written about, and then we leave the results to God.
Yeah.
And there's real freedom in that. It's not an excuse not to work, but I just believe we don't have to just strive to make the book sell.
Yeah, yeah. And you've talked about that throughout this is just how, you know, you're not going to only sell at lunchtime. You're going to keep selling it because you want to keep reaching new readers and impacting them. And so it's, you know, we feel like this kind of this rush up to the release date, but then there's so much time after that. So we don't want to wear ourselves out. And then we don't have the energy, you know, to keep marketing it afterwards. And we just definitely have to take time to rest. So be sure and check out Melanie's devotional, and that will definitely put you in the right mind space for that. So back to, you know, thinking about social media and just the how we share our content. I know that you do such a good job, Melanie. I know like we're friends on Instagram, obviously, and you're always engaging with my content, with other people's content. And then now you started a YouTube channel. And I think that's, you know, somewhat new. And you've been inviting, you know, people to be on your platform. And I just think that's so generous. Like one, just being able to engage with other people's content and really care about what they're putting out. And then inviting people onto your platform. And so I would just love to just hear your heart for that, for both sides of that, and how you can encourage other authors to do the same.
Absolutely. It's interesting because I think about the personality types in social media, and it seems like there's really two kinds of people out there. There's the ones who are kind of in it to make genuine friendships and relationships. And then there's those that are just kind of in it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And you can find that out really fast.
So true.
When you're out there. I was just talking to a girl today that talked about somebody that had never reciprocated with her after she had her on her podcast and done all these things. And it's real easy to use people, mm-hmm. to post and ghost, to get somebody to help you and move on. But I found, I mean, I've been doing this going on 9 years. Uh-huh. It feels like forever. And I've got three Facebooks and I've got a couple of Instagrams and I'm all over all these other channels. And I found, honestly, that being genuine with people, caring about people, making friendships and forming business kind of collaborations, it's fun mm-hmm. if you do it that way. If you do it just for yourself, I can't imagine that it's fun.
Yeah.
And so I tell people all the time, build the relationships, get to know some people, find some people that are doing what you're doing and actually be encouraging it. Write more than just yay or a little heart. Actually read what they're doing or listen to what they say and write something to them. And they'll probably do the same for you. And I've made a lot of friends online. I've made a lot of friends on Facebook and Instagram and even on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And it can be a great way to connect with other people and to build relationships. And it does seem like, Kim, it doesn't make sense because it seems the opposite, but it seems like the more I focus on just making other people feel good and encouraging them and praying for them and seeing what's going on in their lives, the more they share for me. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm not doing it for that reason, but I get the nicest notes and shares and reshares and people doing all kinds of things to promote what I'm doing when I'm not promoting me, but I'm encouraging them.
Yeah.
So it sounds crazy. It sounds like the opposite of what you should do, but I'm a big believer on you love the other people and you let them decide to promote you.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. Right? And that's what Jesus teaches us is, you know, loving on others and just not being in it for selfish reasons. But yeah, you do such a good job of that. And I think all of us focusing on these incredible relationships we can build with other people in our community. And you just never know what's going to come out of it on down the line. You know, you'll just stay in touch and there'll be opportunities that arise for both sides and just really cool things you can share with each other. So yeah, I just love that so much.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, sometimes if you find someone's really not reciprocating, you can be nice, but you don't have to spend hours and hours on them. Mm-hmm. You know, that you'll find some people out there and you're like, this person's not really trying to have friendships online or be supportive online. So you be kind and move on because there's so many amazing people who really do love to interact and comment back on your stuff and like your stuff. And so those are the people that I like to interview. Those are the people I want to get to know. If someone, I will say this, because I know a lot of authors are listening to what we're sharing. Mm-hmm. Don't just go over. I had a girl do this to me. I've never met her. I don't know her. So she probably will never hear this, but she reached out to me on LinkedIn and she sent me, it felt like it was about 10 feet long of a message.
Oh gosh.
And it was all about what I could do for her and her book and all this stuff. And I thought, I don't know you.
Right.
And you didn't form a relationship with me and you're just asking.
Yes.
And so don't do that. Don't just go hit somebody up, friend them and start asking.
Yes.
I have never found that to be something that worked very well.
No.
And I don't like it.
Yeah, I feel so yucky and so against what we stand for. Do you know Susan Mead?
Yes.
She's always taught, you know, give, ask. And I just always have that in my mind of no matter what I do.
Yeah.
Like that's what we just need to be given to each other and sharing and just not popping up with a cold message like, oh, that's so yucky.
Well, and I will tell you, when people are generous online, I want to invite them to be on my YouTube channel mm-hmm. or on my podcast, mm-hmm. or I'll share their material. But when they just are sort of asking for things and sells kind of salesy, that just doesn't, I don't know anybody that likes that. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of a little tip. If you've got a book, don't go hitting people up you don't know. Get to know them. They'll discover. I have bought things from people because I like them. Mm-hmm. I think of that thing that says people buy from who they like,
yes,
trust, and know.
So true.
And I don't ever buy, invite, or share somebody who's a complete stranger.
Yeah.
And so I do think relationship is key in everything, and selling books and building your brand and building up your following. relationships are huge, and people really do know whether you're just trying to sell them something or you're trying to build a relationship.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, we see that coming a mile away, right? And then we all talk about it amongst ourselves, you know, just to kind of beware of people coming your way. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Hey, well, this has been amazing, Melody. Well, where do you suggest listeners go to first then to connect with you online?
They can just come to MelanieRedd.com, or they can find me on Facebook or Instagram, just my personal Melanie Redd. And then from there, everything will kind of be linked.
Okay.
And so I just tell people, let's get to know each other. And then you'll find out kind of some of the different things I'm involved in.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much, Melanie, for your time today, encouraging our listeners. That just means so much to me.
It's been a joy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, y'all, I just love what Melanie said about praying, sharing what God's doing in our lives and what we've written about. And then we leave the results to God. Amen to that, y'all. I hope you'll connect with Melanie, because she brings the same encouragement to her blog and social media, and your heart will thank you for it. And I'm so grateful for you tuning in, and I want to give a shout out to one of my listeners, Marsha. She says, "Great podcast. I walk away from each episode with practical information about marketing my book and inspiration from Kim and her guest." Thanks, Marsha. That means the world to me. And if you've been inspired by an episode on Book Marketing Mania, I hope you'll leave a quick review of the show to let others know it can bring them value too. Thanks for tuning in today. And as always, I'll be there for you next time to help you build your audience and market your book one podcast at a time. See you then.